Thank you, Greg. Man, some things never change, eh? Greg's got his bare feet there still, so it. Welcome, church family, whether you're watching online, a long-time viewer, or fairly recent, or first time, we welcome you, and great to sing with you, church family. Man, for a few, a bit of the song there, I just stopped and listened to you sing, and it was just so great, the voices around me. Just something beautiful about that. It reminds me of Ephesians 4 there, where Paul says, speak to one another in spiritual songs. And so you were speaking to me. So great to have you as we kick off this new series, Rhythms for Flourishing Souls. And really, that's been my prayer and hope as we go into this next season of our church family's life. We go with a sense of expectancy of what God has for us. And the rapper Ice Cube said, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. And as we kind of come to an end of this pandemic and go into the fall season, we want to take some time to check ourselves. Or as he said, check yourself. Because as Greg mentioned, the pandemic has messed with each of us. It's disrupted some of our patterns, habits, rhythms of our lives. And as we're kind of, quote, going back to normal, and what is normal, right? It's just a setting on a dryer, right? You're not the same person that when you were sitting here in February of 2020. You're not that same person anymore, as Gord said on the screen there. God has said something. God has done something in your life. And so we want to take time to reflect on what he's done these last 17 months. God has spoken to you. We've been changed. It's time to check yourself. And the scripture that I've been praying the last couple of weeks, and I invite you to turn there with me, is Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. It's a prayer that that Paul gives us there. It's some interesting. It's an interesting metaphor that he uses there. Well, let me read it. Galatians 4:19. I'm reading from the NIV. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I pray you would take your written word and speak it into our hearts, our rhythms, our relationships, our lives. Right now, I ask in your name. Amen. Like I said, a bit of a strange metaphor there. Paul says he's in the pains of childbirth. Some of you moms are thinking, Paul, you better check yourself. Like, what kind of metaphor are you using there as a single guy trying to talk about the pains of labor? What does he know? But I think he's trying to show us his heart. He's not like a lawyer before a jury. He's like a mother before her children. A mother who is anguishing around the waywardness of her kids. And that's Paul's heart here. It's a metaphor that he sometimes uses in the New Testament. In fact, I put on your outline another example, 1 Thessalonians 2. He says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Paul says it's not about a program, it's about relationship, community, family, as he uses that mother metaphor again there, and seeing the gospel realized in our midst. My dear children, he writes in our scripture today, or some of your translations say, little children. That would be the literal translation there. Paul's heart for the Galatians and God's heart for us. until Christ is formed in you. The Greek there for that word formed is the word morphu. Everybody say that with me. Morphu. I was thinking about it this morning. I thought I should have looked if it's related to our English word metamorphosis, where a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Because it's the same meaning there. Morphu refers to an inner transformation, being changed on the inside. It's not just being changed on the outside. Like, you can come to church and you can sort of hear how Christian people talk, and you can sort of pick up the lingo and the language and just be sort of socialized in a Christian subculture, or morphu, being Christ being formed in us, can happen where we're transformed on the inside. That Christ's life is realized within us. That we speak what Christ would speak if he were walking around in our bodies, in our network of relationships. That we would listen like Jesus would listen if he were in our body. That his desires become our desires. His thoughts become our thoughts. Until Christ is formed, morphu, within you. And for that to happen, friends, we need to go below the surface. For this prayer to be realized, we've got to look to the interior of our lives. And that's my hope, my prayer, as we begin this new series, Rhythms for Healthy Souls. It's famously said that an iceberg, 90% is below the surface. Cue the Titanic music. I believe it's true in our lives also. Because we can present a certain image to one another here at church. We can present a certain image on, let's say, social media, or to our friends, to our co-workers, to our family. But beneath the surface, it can be another story. We need to examine the interior of our lives. As Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And modern living is a conspiracy against the interior life. Because attention is our scarcest resource, right? I mean, the greatest challenge to the church today is not so much hedonism, as bad as that is, as attention, distraction. See, the world will constantly call us to shallowness. Let's do a quick game of charades here. Who am I? Thanks. Who am I?
My husband.
Obviously, the COVID acting lessons aren't paying off. What I was trying to demonstrate is somebody who doesn't have their phone, right? We're standing in line for 30... Oh, yeah, now you get it. We're at a line, you know, at a coffee shop or a grocery store, and we're just fidgeting with our fingers, right? Because we've got there a minute, and we don't know what to do with that minute if we don't have our phone. And that's the world, right? The world is continually calling us to distraction. We don't know what to do with 2 minutes of silence, of solitude. It happens, you know, you're watching a TV series, let's say on Netflix. And what happens when the show is done? Well, the next one queues up. Faster than you can say, well, I think I should go to the bathroom now. The next episode has started. The world continually pulls us to shallowness. And as we keep getting distracted, we risk missing God in those moments. Because God is continually there. But the question is, are we paying attention? We're stuck waiting for our phones to ping, notifications to come, or another episode to show up as our screens stream stuff to us, and we're unaware of God's presence with us. See, friends, your mind is the portal to your soul. And what you fill your mind with is what will shape your life. Your life is the sum of what you give your attention to. A few months ago, we asked you as leaders to fill in a survey, and thanks for responding to that. And one of the questions was, how would you define the word disciple? And you see there a word cloud up on the screen. And you submitted your definitions of a disciple. And the more often a word would appear, the bigger the word shows up in that word cloud there. And so you see the three biggest words, which was true for both our leaders, our LT and staff, and for you as a congregation, were the words learner, apprentice, follower. That's a disciple. Someone who follows the way of Jesus, who learns his ways, who's shaped by him, who's an apprentice being taught by Jesus. And that means we've got to give attention to what Jesus is saying. More so than the latest social media post. What are my friends up to this summer anyways? More so than the 24/7 news cycle that continually feeds us news. What's Donald Trump up to anyways? Is there a federal election happening? More so than the celebrity gossip that keeps coming our way. Who is Jennifer Lopez dating these days anyways? You know, the cultural drivel that keeps coming into our lives. And we miss out on those God moments. Miss out on what God is saying to us as his apprentices here in this world. And so in this series, we're going to go into the interior of our lives, below the surface of the iceberg. As John Calvin said, the Christian life begins with a knowledge of God and a knowledge of ourselves. And so we look beneath the surface of the iceberg by listening deeply to our souls. And the goal of the self-examination is freedom. We want to be free to live in the freedom that Christ has for us. My dear children, whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth for, so that Christ may be formed in you. Well, let me suggest four areas to examine ourselves as we launch this series. Number one, examine your internal messages. Sometimes we need to just stop and take stock of what are we saying to ourselves. And these can be things that we have said relatively recently, or it could be something we've picked up during the pandemic, the chatter in our headspace, or it could be something that for decades we have said, and now unconsciously it's forming and shaping us. It can come from our family of origin. As Pete Cesaro says, Jesus may live in your heart, but Grandpa lives in your bones. So what kind of internal messages are you telling yourself? I just returned home last Sunday night from holidays. I was in Kitchener, Ontario, my hometown where I grew up. My mom and sister have moved back from Quebec to Kitchener. So it was over a decade since I've been there. And it was a little bit of reflection, you know, kind of driving by some of the places that I used to remember, some of whom looked the same, some of which has changed. The house I grew up with on Hickson Drive was for sale, you know, so I went on MLS there to see what the pictures looked like. And yeah, it's changed, you know. And so our lives, we've got to take stock of them. In fact, when I was back in Kitchener, when we took a picture of that restaurant up on the screen there, took a walk one afternoon, my mom was napping, and walked by this restaurant. I thought, oh, I remember that restaurant when it was a pizza chain. Which one? You recognize that building? Pizza Hut, right? Remember, all their buildings kind of look the same, and now it's a Middle Eastern restaurant, and I took a picture of it because I thought, what an interesting combination. I mean, every business has had to pivot, you know, and adapt during this time, and this Middle Eastern restaurant also does U-Haul rentals. I thought, wow, okay, you know, I'll take a beef falafel, and do you want a 20-foot cube van to go with that, you know? You're a different person now. Then when COVID began, it's time to examine ourselves. What scripts are you saying? Secondly, examine your emotions. Examine your emotions, because sometimes in church, we tend to elevate the spiritual over our feelings. And we, you know, have certain unspoken rules, whether in the church or family of origin, things like, well, if you're sad, that means you're weak. Or if you're angry, don't show it. You know, just repeat Philippians 4:4 to yourself, you know. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice, you know. Or sometimes it's conveyed that grieving shows a lack of faith. I say, feel your feelings and examine them, particularly maybe your reactions to things or your overreactions. Why did you get so angry at the skip the dishes driver? Why were you short with the pharmacist? When I went back to Kitchener-Waterloo, I saw my aunt, whom I hadn't seen for over a decade. She looks at me and she says, "You look just like your dad." And when she said that, something within me got triggered. And then that night I asked myself, okay, why did I react that way in my spirit? Why do we sometimes get defensive around things? Sheila and I, in our marriage and relationship, are trying to practice healthy rhythms with one another. And I've got to sometimes check my reactions. Because I'll sometimes get home and she'll tell me something, and I'll react by going, "And now you're going to tell me the dishwasher's broken too." And I think, okay, why am I overreacting? Why am I sensitive to certain things? And we need to speak the gospel into those reactions or into our emotions. See, an emotionally healthy disciple is someone who rejects the distractions of this world. It says, don't bother examining yourself. He or she rejects the busyness of the world and says, okay, I'm going to take stock of my life and reorient my life as an apprentice, a follower of Jesus, so that my soul gets changed by Jesus. My dear children, whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth, so that Christ may be formed in you. And part of that formation is that we become emotionally healthy disciples of Jesus. See, an emotionally immature disciple of Jesus is somebody who gets defensive, someone who overreacts, someone who doesn't take stock of their emotions, someone who can't stand for 1 minute in line without, getting all fidgety. A sign of emotional immaturity is that prayer is this duty, or it becomes this shopping list of things I've got to get from God. On the other hand, an emotionally mature person isn't defensive. They can disagree without being disagreeable. They don't see other people as objects, but rather as valuable image bearers of God. And prayer for the emotionally mature person, yeah, they'll ask things of God, but it's first and foremost delighting in God, living in relationship with God and enjoying Him. Examine your emotions. Thirdly, examine your anxiety. To be anxious is to be human, but to be regularly shaped by our anxiety is to diminish our humanity. And if we don't examine our anxiety while it's acute, meaning it's situational or it's time-based, the risk becomes that it becomes chronic. And some of you know what chronic anxiety and to live in that is like. And it's far more difficult then to examine ourselves, to, in a sense, step out of that experience and to respond to it. And in that way, acute anxiety can actually be a gift from the Lord to you. We may not see it that way, but it's, again, that call to check yourself. Why was I so anxious waiting for this phone call? Or why am I so anxious about my meeting with the supervisor on Tuesday? Why is this deadline provoking so much worry within me? I think Sheila and I are trying to build a great marriage here post-COVID by just simply asking ourselves four questions regularly and asking one another. What makes you glad? What makes you sad? What makes you mad? And what makes you anxious? Rhythms. Because if we don't process our anxiety, it risks going underneath and then re-emerging as something else, more negative. And so we've got to look below the iceberg into our interior lives, to the anxiety, and to bring the gospel to those anxious thoughts. Fourthly, examine your celebrations. Don't just ask what makes you sad, mad, and anxious, but also what makes you glad? What are you celebrating? Because God is always at work. God has been at work in your life this last year and a half. There's a season in my life, this was pre-pandemic days, where I was waking up and I was just kind of overwhelmed, or I was worrying. And I was having trouble falling asleep because I was thinking of, oh, things I got to do or whatever, you know? And then I read about this ancient practice with some monks. And what they used to do is they would take their teacup on their night table, and before they'd go to sleep, they'd turn it over. They'd sleep, and then in the morning, they'd wake up, they'd look at the night table, oh, teacup's still there. That means I'm still here. I have another day. And they'd turn the teacup over. They'd go about their day, then a night to retire, turn it over. I read about that and I'm going to do that. And so at night, I turned the teacup over. And I remember it was a little bit ominous because I remember thinking one night, some night I may turn the teacup over and this will be my last night to turn it over. But more so than that, I remember thinking as I turned the teacup over, okay, God, I'm going to sleep now. I don't want to have all these anxious thoughts ruminating in my mind. You're still up. You've got my back. I can trust you. You're going to take care of these situations or the things that I'm worrying about. And I can look forward to each day, turning the cup over. Yes, another 24 hours I have from God. Another day, a gift from the Lord that He has given to me. Friends, God is at work in your life. We need to be people who celebrate. Are you celebrating His goodness, even this summer? See, four areas to examine in our lives. And there are, of course, other areas, but let's begin with those four. The unexamined life is not worth living. It's time to evaluate ourselves, our rhythms. And partially in doing that is, it exposes us. It reminds us of, okay, this is my shadow side. And I need to check myself before I wreck myself. And examining our lives, we're reminded of the grace of God that is there. And how God has been at work. And first and foremost, in examining our lives, we receive from God. There's an island just off of northern England called Lindisfarne Island. Anybody ever been there? Lindisfarne Island? You know? Oh, you've been there, eh? Lindisfarne Island. This is a small island, right? I'm told it's like 5 kilometers from one side to the other. And it's one of the most important sites or centers of Christianity in England. It's famous to many of the saints, Saint Guibert, Saint Aidan. Some of you who are into art, you may look up the Lindisfarne Gospels, some of those majestic and masterpiece artwork that has been done there. And it's from this island that Christianity spread across northern England. In 633 AD, King Oswald of Northumbria desired to bring Christianity, and he requested the monks of Iona, Scotland, to come and to bring Christianity. And so Corman, the first monk that was sent, was met with little success. He returned and he reported this, quote, the people were ungovernable and an obstinate and barbarous temperament. Not willing to give up, the monks held a conference to discuss what they should do next. And Aidan, who was at the conference, he said this, "Brothers, it seems to me that you were too severe on your ignorant hearers. You should have followed the practice of the apostles and begun by giving them the milk of simpler teaching and gradually nourishing them with the word of God until they were capable of greater perfection and able to follow the loftier precepts of Christ." Well, this observation by St. Aidan convinced the rest that he should be the one to go there. And so they unanimously decided to commission Aidan as the bishop to this island, along with 12 other monks. And so he was given this island of Lindisfarne, also called Holy Island. And so he established this monastery there on the island. And Lindisfarne became the base of their work. And what makes it interesting is that the tide comes in twice a day. And so there would be times where they would be on the island and they would be isolated. They couldn't get to the mainland. And so when the times when the tide was in, well, that's when they would devote themselves to prayer, to worship, to communing with God. And then the tide would go out and then they could walk across. And so they would do their missionary work and then return. And that pattern of engagement and retreating is a rhythm that we ought to also follow in our lives. And it ought to become natural, almost like breathing, that we exhale and we inhale. We inhale God's grace, God's presence as we worship, as we spend time in silence, solitude, communing with Him, prayer. And we exhale as we live our lives on mission, loving our neighbors, caring for creation, reaching out to the marginalized, etc. And in a sense, we're following the practice of Jesus. And we see Him doing this as a pattern with His disciples. Mark chapter 6, the disciples are busy. In fact, they're so busy, we read there that Mark writes, they didn't have time to eat. What does Jesus say? Quote, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Jesus knew in the midst of their busyness, they couldn't just keep ministering, that they needed to retreat. That balance of worship, prayer, and mission. Kind of like what we call here at Grace Point, the Jesus-shaped life of up and in and out, to live that life. "My dear children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth, so that Christ may be formed in you." See, friends, our souls are pliable. They are, aren't they? I mean, the soul, it's difficult in a sense to talk about, because how do you define the soul? Like, what is the soul? But we all know that our souls, in a sense, can grow, kind of like this balloon. That our souls enlarge through healthy practices, healthy rhythms, and likewise, our souls can diminish, can't they? Like I said, it's hard to define a soul and know what it is, but we all know, because we've been there, when we go through a season of neglecting our soul and we suffer the effects of that because our souls shrivel and we feel ourselves dying on the inside. And so in this series, we're going to do some spiritual practices together as a church family. And those of you watching at home, we'll try as best as we can to incorporate you in those practices. Some of them will be contemporary practices, some of them ancient practices. Some I practice myself, some I've read about. But we all know, like I said, when we don't have a healthy soul. And there's an ancient practice that comes from St. Ignatius. The year was 1534. That's almost 500 years ago. Kids, that's even older than your parents. 1534, St. Ignatius wrote a book called Spiritual Practices. And one of those practices is the prayer of examining. It's a really simple practice. And it's one that I regularly engaged in pre-COVID. And then COVID kind of threw me off of my rhythm. And in 2 weeks, I'll share with you about what God has taught me during this pandemic. And I'd love to have you share also. You know, it can be something as simple as what Gord said on the screen there about God's faithfulness. I'd love to hear some of your testimonies. We want to encourage each other. And so speak to one of us as a staff today. And we'll queue you up in 2 weeks when we do that. And like I said, I kind of fell off the wagon during the pandemic. To use the language of Freedom Session, I turned to a drug of choice. And I missed out on this prayer of examining that pre-COVID I used to do. And the prayer of examining is really simple. It's just taking an evaluation of your day. It can be done any time of the day. You can do it in the morning. You can do it in the evening. The Jesuits who do it to this day, they do it twice a day. They do it at noon and then in the evening. And it's a really simple practice. You can do it like for 2 minutes, you know, or you can extend it out to like 15, 20 minutes. So it doesn't take a lot of time. So it's not like any of us can say, well, I don't really have time to do it. But I think even those 2 minutes can help remind us of God's presence in our lives. And there's kind of 5 areas in the prayer of examining. And the first one is to be grateful. To be grateful for God's blessings in your life. And so you reflect on the last 24 hours and you just say, oh God, I thank you for celebrating His goodness. Secondly, is to review your day. Just think, okay, what happened today or what happened yesterday, depending on the time you do it. And particularly, how you were aware or unaware of God's presence during the last 24 hours. Thirdly, then, is you pay attention to your emotions of the last day. What St. Ignatius called the consolations and the desolations. To be aware of that. The positive emotions and maybe the negative emotions of the last 24 hours and how perhaps they are moving you away from life with God. Fourthly, you express sorrow over sin of the last day and you joyfully receive God's forgiving love in your life. You repent of your sin and you receive His grace. And then fifthly, you look forward to the day to come. Kind of like turning the teacup over. You say, okay, what's next for me, God? And what are you calling me to? So it's a simple practice, like I said. You know, you can do it, you know, any time, and it can just take a short amount of time. My dear children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. So why don't we take a few moments right now to do the prayer of examining. But maybe not for the last 24 hours, but thinking the last 18 months. Because God has been at work in your life, and you're not the same person. So let's take a few moments of silence right now. We'll go through those 5 areas quickly. First one, thankfulness. Go ahead, in the quietness of your heart, just tell God 1, 2, 3 things you're thankful for. Secondly, to review the time period. So, I want you to think these last 18 months. How have you been aware of God? unaware. How has he shown up? Thirdly, your emotions. What are you feeling now? As we're in this season, are you depressed, anxious, languishing, joyful, flourishing? Talk to God right now about your emotions. Fourthly, to repent of sin and to receive God's forgiveness. Is there something today you need to repent of? Leave it behind today at the cross. Talk to the God who loves you, who knows you right now. And fifthly, what's next, God? Let's take a few moments of silence for you to listen what God is calling you to. Amen. Jesus is here. He's speaking to you. We want to go to the Lord's table as we reflect on our lives, what He has done and what He is doing. We can be assured that He does this out of His love. And wherever we doubt or we wonder, we just look again to the cross, to that great love. And so I invite you to meet the living Lord Jesus right now at the table. The bread, a top wafer that represents His body that was broken for you. Take and eat. And then the juice, representing His blood that was shed on the cross, that you could live this new life with Him, through Him. Church family, let's take and drink. Oh, living Christ, in the midst of our lives, whether it's the difficult places, the dark places, the busyness, the unknown, You have been with us. And I thank You. I thank You that You call us into this new life that's found in You. And thank You that You are at work. And sometimes I struggle because I see more of my shadow side than the side that you are at work, but I see little by little. You are making me, making us to resemble you more. I thank you for this, Lord Jesus. Because of your power, your love, your goodness. Amen.